Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For I just wanted to impress you with my knowledge of football before the big game. You have to explain that one to my kids later. As in golf, as in football, there's something very important. You can talk a big game, right? You can say you're going to win. You can put on all the paraphernalia and everything, or get your clubs out and everything, get ready and make a big swing, but unless you have one thing, it's not going to happen. Follow through, right? Follow through. Our words, our promises, our dreams, our goals, our aspirations can turn out to be empty and powerless. We often do not have follow-through on our words. The Bible knows well of this problem. I think of the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. When the people, after hearing the law of God being read, they said, "All of this we will do." And just a few chapters later, they don't. No follow-through. Or Jesus told the parable about the two sons who were told to go out and work in the vineyard. One says, "I won't." And he goes and he does it. The other says, "I will," but he doesn't. No follow-through on his words. Huh? Finally, St. Paul, in the book of Romans, he says, "The good that I want to do, I don't do. It's rather the evil that is in me, yeah, that I do." No follow-through on the good that he would do, right? Now, why is it that we don't have good follow-through on our words? Why? Well, sometimes it's because we lack the capability. Not always, but sometimes. You know, we say, "I'm going to bench press 500 pounds. But really, if you haven't trained, then you're probably not going to bench press 500, but it doesn't matter how much you train. Sometimes it's a lack of discipline. Sure, sure, sure. Sometimes it's just laziness or distractions. And what's the solution to the problem? More discipline? That's what a lot of people think. Well, if I just change my life, put good habits into place, I'll be able to follow through in my words. But oftentimes that means you have to compromise something else in your life in order to make time to do the very thing that you want to follow through with your words, and you neglect being the person you're supposed to be over here. So don't just think just because you put more discipline to one thing that you're better off, because now you're no longer doing this other thing that you're also supposed to do and said you do. Discipline sometimes is just a band-aid solution to the bigger problem of follow through on our words. Another thing we could do is just simply stop talking altogether, right? Make no promises. Alison Krauss in her song said it best, "You say it best when you say nothing at all," right? We could just not promise to do anything. But if we don't promise and we don't dream and don't have any goals and aspirations, then what? We also are kind of a hermit. We don't enjoy life, and we probably neglect to do the purposes for which God has plans for us to do in this life. That's sad, too, if we don't promise to do anything. We won't let anybody down, but also we won't fulfill the purpose for which God has called us to be. So the best solution I would suggest is repentance and faith. Repentance. In the Bible, the word repentance, metanoia, means to turn around, right? If you keep doing the same thing the same way, should you expect a different solution? But if you turn around, you repent, you turn back in repentance, contrition, sorrow towards God, and you turn, and rather you look, you don't just turn, but you also look to see something else. When you look to see Jesus, then faith in Christ Jesus can help your follow through. What will you find when you look to Jesus? In his word today, these great words. His word possessed authority. What does that mean? I would suggest, thinking of all the scriptures lately, last week and now this week, that means his word had follow-through. It wasn't empty words. It was follow-through words. His word possessed authority. Whatever it said, it did. It accomplished the very thing which it set out to do. He had follow-through. He got, in words of East Tennessee language, he got her done. He did it. His word works. Last week, what did Jesus say? Remember, he took out the scroll from Isaiah and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, release to the captive, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he sat down. Now this week, however, what do we hear? Jesus goes and does it. He has follow through. He went out and he healed diseases. He cast out demons, those who were oppressed. It's as though he were really ushering in the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, his word got it done. It wasn't empty words and promises. He did exactly what he said he would do. And that, my friends, is what I would call a twofold epiphany for today. A two-for-one, in a sense, right? This is the season of epiphany. Number one, epiphanies make known. It's the aha moment that, it's God here on earth, right? Well, two ways I would suggest that we hear from the text and realize that God is truly present on earth. One, because what he does, healing many diseases, rebuking the fever, casting out demons. Who can do such thing but God alone, right? That says, aha, it's God. Wow. But the second, more subtle, perhaps, epiphany that we should take note of, and think of how the people also took note of it, the epiphany of what his word said he would do and what his word actually went out and did, his follow-through. And think of how the people said, what did they say in this text? What is this word? That's their response to Jesus. What is this word? For his word possesses authority. As if they're listening to what he's saying and then seeing what he does. That, my friends, is also an epiphany. Not just what he does, but that he said he was going to do it and did it. He had follow through on his words. And the application for us, what does it mean that Jesus has follow through on his words? So what, so to speak? I would suggest a couple things. I think that this has a huge impact in our life to see the follow through of Jesus. Number one, upon our failed follow-through, we could rejoice knowing that with Jesus there is follow-through. He is God's loved Son. And when God sees us, he sees Jesus. And so, really, Jesus' follow-through is our follow-through. When we looked in faith to Jesus, the one who got her done, the one who did exactly what his word set out to do, that's your fulfillment. That's his gift to you. His follow-through is your follow-through. He forgives our sins, our failures, our inability to get it done, our empty words. He forgives. This is our God. This is a great God indeed. And secondly, by the Spirit and the love of God, he plants in us a new kind of faith and trust in the power of what God can do. And I would suggest this is very, very powerful indeed. This faith manifests itself in powers to do even supernatural things, like casting out demons or praying for our loved ones for healing. Do we doubt that those prayers are effective? Is not the Spirit among us? Indeed, our prayers are powerful. Casting out demons, praying for our loved ones over diseases. I know there's many people, we're going to have a big prayer list today, I understand, of people who have petitions that we're going to pray for different diseases, and I mean, we've heard a lot of people are sick. Our prayers are very powerful. May we not forget it. May we not doubt and trust. Because we can see the follow-through of Jesus' words, so we trust that since God sees us, he sees Jesus, so our prayers are like Jesus praying, and they're very powerful. And more so, I suggest it would give us a reliance that our abilities are nil, nothing. But God's almighty power is everything. Very, very powerful. That's the kind of faith we should have by listening to Jesus. That we have no power, but he has all the power. As we sing in the hymn, "I am weak, but he is strong." Often it comes down to simply saying, "I can't, but God will." That kind of faith. It's a hard faith sometimes because we want to do it all ourselves. We're Americans. We got power. We got abilities. We've trained ourselves. But sometimes the best kind of faith says, I can't. As we confess every time we come to church, I can't. I've sinned. I failed. But your mercy, O Lord, you forgive us. You renew us that we might walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. And God provides a way. Someone once said to me, Pastor, I want you to come over to my house. I want you to lay your hands on me and pray over me, and I want you to heal me. And I said, I can't. And he says, well, to some effect, he said, now what kind of pastor are you? That's awful. Why would you say no? And I said, no, you misunderstand. I can't. But God, the Lord, can. Do you trust that? You see, it wasn't until that he finally gave up all of his trust in something that could happen here on earth by another man, by just because he called the right person, or said the right things, or used the right voodoo magic, or did something in and of himself to do the right thing for God, that he was healed. No, it was when he finally gave up all things and put himself into God's hands and said, oh Lord, heal me. And our prayers can only help teach people to have faith in the power of God, the faith in his healing, the faith in Christ Jesus. Is that a faith that heals? Is that a faith that casts out demons? Is that a faith that we want here on earth? Is that a faith that we'll let dwell in our hearts and our minds throughout the week and throughout every time, especially when people are sick? Will we pray for our others' friends? Will we have the love for others and commend them to the Lord? Not our powers, but his. I pray we do. And sometimes God's response to our prayers is, my grace is sufficient for you. Will we still have faith to believe and say, amen, O Lord, amen. That there is healing both now and time, yes, just as Jesus displayed here on earth. Sometimes he works incognito behind means, behind doctors and nurses and medicines and other things to heal us. Do we have faith to believe that God is working there? He said he does. He created those good offices to work his good. Do we trust in the workers of others? Sometimes, as we know too, maybe you know too, sometimes it's a miraculous healing. That happens too. But do we also have faith when God says, my grace is sufficient for you? Will we endure through suffering? Will we, even though we're sick and in bed, go, amen, O Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. Is that kind of faith ours too? I pray it is. I pray that kind of faith keeps us always mindful of his power and his glory, both now in time and in the time to come. When we turn to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we will also notice that his power doesn't just stay put, does it? Did you hear in the text today, after all the healings, after all the work he did in Capernaum, how he went to a desolate place? And then the people came to him, they wanted more, give us more, we need more healings, more power. And Jesus says to them, I must go to the other towns as well. I must preach the good news in the other cities. And from these words, we learn a little bit about our purpose as the church. Will we be content just to build up walls here at Praise, to build up nice walls and get new chairs and to just grow inwardly, right? That's good. It's good. We've got to build ourselves up in love. But we realize also the message of Christ Jesus also does what? Goes out. It goes out to the other towns as well. May we realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Not just people who build each other up in love, but spread that love outward. For this is the purpose for which Jesus came, to preach the good news to the other towns as well. May we invite other towns to our church, yes. May we also be witnesses in the world. Not just walls and chairs and worship, but witnesses out in the world of Christ's power, his healing. His word possesses authority. Pray at home. Speak of Christ Jesus to your friends. Speak and share the good news of the gospel. May others know the love of Christ Jesus that goes out. It doesn't stay put. It goes out to the other towns as well. May we rejoice in what our God has done and will do for us. His word has authority. As he says a little bit later on, that he will die and he will rise. What he says, he gets done. And he did. And when he says he will come again, we should say, Amen. He will come again. He will heal. He will cast out. He will raise us to be with Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith and the follow-through of Christ Jesus. Amen.